from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field, inside the Jaguars Radio Network studios. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Offensive coordinator Jed Fish will join us in just a moment. Busy couple of days here at Everbank Field. Free agency is underway. The new league year is underway as well, and the Jags are making moves. You can get it on the show today at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. Also at the bottom of your screen, there's a live chat at the bottom as well. We'll take some questions throughout the day. Let's look at the Jaguars this week. Of course, free agency is underway with a bang. Roster moves and some major ones for the Jaguars this week as well. And yeah, it is pro day season. The draft is coming up, but that seems a long way away from right now. Let's welcome in our first guest, John. It's Jed Fish, the offensive coordinator. You've been this is an interesting couple of days, I guess, for you, right? A bunch of new faces, some faces going away.
Yeah, it's been a great great start to free agency, great start to the calendar year, you know, for the NFL. And for us, we're really excited about the acquisitions we have made. And I think that Dave and Gus securing those first couple guys have been outstanding for us on offense.
What are your emotions like during that when guys are coming in? You know Dave's dealing with the contracts, but you've got to be kind of hoping and just kind of waiting for news, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what it comes down to at the early stage. The early stage is kind of Dave and you know, Tim Walsh are really dealing with the contracts and kind of back and forth and letting Gus know, and then Gus is real involved with it and then kind of letting us know where it is. And we've had great talks, though. We've spent a few weeks prior to the start of free agency really having a plan, and Dave and Gus are awesome about getting the assistant coaches involved and letting us give feedback on what we're looking for and who.
Jed Fish is with us, Jaguars offensive coordinator, Jaguars.com Live. Of course, the big news yesterday was the trade of Blaine Gabbert to San Francisco. What was your reaction when you first heard about it? When did you hear about it? And have you did you talk to Blaine before it happened?
Yeah, I did talk to Blaine yesterday. And, you know, I think the trade happened or came to fruition yesterday late afternoon or so. I think at the point where we were at the end of this season and then kind of moving forward and when we were able to secure Chad, his new contract and him being with us on another couple-year deal, we felt real good about the fact that Chad was going to be here. And then we also knew that Blaine needed a new beginning, and it was a great opportunity for him. He was phenomenal, as I've told you guys all year long, about the way he handled the ups and downs of the season. From the preseason game against the Jets when everyone thought and when we were all super excited about him to the injury in the first game of the year and then kind of playing and fighting through injuries for the first 5 weeks or so.
And you said something real interesting that always stuck in my head about playing at the end of the season. It could have been a thing. It could have been a headline in the second half of the season when he wasn't playing. And I think you expressed late in the season, I don't know if it's appreciation, but yeah, a respect for how he handled it.
There's no doubt. I think we did talk about it. And, you know, really what it comes down to is it a lot of times when you take a guy 10th or 11th overall and then you're going into his third year and, you know, all the pressure's on and everyone's wondering what's going to happen and he gets injured and then kind of, you know, comes back and then injured again. And then we go with Chad. You never even heard about it. It wasn't national news, and it really came down to the fact that he handled it like such a professional. And he was an awesome backup and in terms of helping Chad prepare, and he came in every day ready to play.
Coach Jed Fish is with us, the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars, Jaguars.com Live. Of course, the Jaguars have agreed to terms with Toby Gerhart, the running back, former Viking, Zane Beatles, the left guard from Denver. They're in the process of signing as we speak. But, Coach, a question off social media from Rhett Crystal. With the signing of Toby Gerhart, is it reasonable to believe the Jaguars will have a run-first offense next season? How does that work?
Well, you know, there's what I would say. The NFL is a pass-first league. You know, I think the average in the NFL games is 60% or 61% pass, 39% run. I don't see it being very different than that. I think when the game is within 14 points, We were 60% pass, 40% run, and that was at exactly the right in the average of the league. That's what it is. You know, we would love to be at 55-45. The score dictates that. But obviously we're thrilled that Toby Gerhardt's with us and Jordan Todman and Denard Robinson, and the combination that we feel with those three guys, along with having Will Taufofu as our fullback. We feel really good about our running game, and the more we can run the ball, the happier we'll all be.
This is from Social, too, and we're missing the handle, but how do you plan on using Gerhardt? How does he fit in the kind of back he is and what you want to do?
Well, I think he can do it all. I'm really excited about what he does. You know, he was a second-round pick 4 years back and was able to play behind probably one of the best running backs ever. And clearly, in terms of production and yards over the last few years. So he's come in with 275 carries or so in 4 years. He averaged 7.8 yards a carry last season, which is pretty remarkable number off of only 35 carries. So he doesn't have a lot of hits, although at Stanford he certainly ran the ball a bunch. And we're really excited. We think we can have our downhill running game with our power and our lead game and also run the outside zone that we've certainly talked about. And the inside zone will certainly be a big complement as well to the game, running game.
Coach Jed Fish is with us, offensive coordinator for the Jaguars. This is Jaguars.com live. Let's talk offensive line now. Zane Beatles, of course. It's no mystery that the Jags need some depth in the interior of the offensive line. That's no secret at all. But it started with Zane Beatles agreeing to terms, going into his fifth year now, solid Pro Bowl player 2 years ago with Denver, and he's going to go on the left side for you, right?
Yeah, and really, Zane Beatles doesn't provide depth. He provides a starter.
Yeah, well, sure.
And, and we're super excited about that. You know, we're excited about the fact that he just played next to Ryan Clady, a Pro Bowl left tackle. Now he's going to be able to play next to Luke Jokel. And we think that that experience will be huge for him. He played in front of, I guess we would say, Peyton Manning, right? And the idea that he learned how to prepare every day with Peyton Manning for those 2 years brings an immediate leader into the room. And losing Brad Meester and the leadership that Brad brought at the center position, the fact that now Zane's here, starting left guard for us, being next to our second pick overall in the draft, we're thrilled that he's with us, and he'll make an immediate impact on our football team, in our locker room, and on the field.
I saw somewhere where Peyton Manning had either called him the most intelligent offensive lineman he'd played with, or he put him up there. Why is that so important overall and in your scheme to have a guy who can see it up there?
Well, you know, I think, John, one of the biggest things for us is the fact that we're going to be breaking in a new center. And the fact that the centers are so involved in protections, in the running game, and getting guys to the right people. And Luke's only played 5 games. So now you're able to get a super intelligent, experienced Super Bowl, participate in the Super Bowl this year, been to a Pro Bowl. He's going to be able to help whoever our center is along. He's going to be able to help Luke along. And the intelligence factor and the study habits will really carry us through.
And fill in the blank, that new center is?
Oh, go ahead. You can break some news right here,
Jack. That would be breaking news. That would be breaking news. But there is no news at this point in time. But we're really excited about the guys that we have. And watching Mike Brewster go back to the position he played in college will be big for us. You know, obviously he was a 4-year starter at Ohio State at center. And that's his natural position, to get him back at center when he comes healthy. I think we have some other guys in the roster that played center as well, and also get Will Rackley some work at center, and then continue to watch that competition go.
Coach Jed Fish is with us, offensive coordinator for the Jaguars on Jaguars.com live. How excited are you for April 21st, the first day the guys get back in the building? You can actually start talking football with these guys again, right?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously you always need that little bit of time from the last year to the next year, so to speak. But at this point in time, okay, we've had it. Now let's get going again. And I think we all tasted a little bit of what it was beginning to feel like a little bit. Each game was competitive game. You know, that second half of the year, obviously the Indy game got away from us too quickly with the fumble, in the first series, and then, you know, the interception at the end of the, you know, half, where it could have been a 17-10 game turned into a 20-3 game at halftime. But the Buffalo game, it's got a sour taste. Tennessee game, sour taste. And then the four in between, you know, that were real, you know, positive. So I'm excited to get back with these guys and see if we can continue to build and get better.
There's been so much going on that we haven't even asked you about Chad, who team re-signed. What does he bring, and what sort of gives you confidence in him? The reason you sign him is because you need that guy that you can depend on.
Yeah, there's, you know, three words that come to mind. You know, it's stability, leadership, and consistency. I think, number one, he provides a stability at the position right now. We know that going into this season, going into the offseason, that we have a starting quarterback, someone that started 11 games last year for us, someone that has started a complete seasons, someone that started here, you know, a good amount of time as well, and won four games for us last season, the second half of the year, and got better. So that's the first thing he brings. He certainly brings a consistency as a person and in the locker room, you know, which is pretty cool, as you know what you're going to get every day, and his leadership. We're going to build off of his leadership. He makes other people around him better. It's important to him to work with the younger players. We know we're going to continue to have roster changes. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to continue to bring more people in. We have, I don't know what the new number is of draft picks, but it could be 11 now. It's 11, with the trade.
That's right.
At least 11.
So, you know, at least 11 draft picks coming in. So what he brings for us is huge, and we're really excited to have him.
Now, at some point, number three, wherever, quarterback is a rookie. Just in general, what are you looking for when you're out on the road? Because you'll be at some pro days, I assume. You'll be looking at these guys.
Yeah, and we'll be heading out, to a bunch of pro days. And we've also had a bunch of those guys in the Senior Bowl, you know, and then got to meet with them also at the Combine. But you look for, in terms of where you look for at a pro day, I think you look for kind of, do they control their pro day? Are they being told what to do, or do you kind of feel a sense of leadership out on the field? You get to spend some time meeting with them, and you get to learn kind of how they talk football. Let them be in their own environment. I think it's so important. Let them talk their game, not try to understand errors right now. And then finally, you have so much film to watch on these guys. You know, we have all the access in the world of every game and every throw and every situation. And so, you know, we'll really work and dig hard at it. And then obviously our scouts have done an amazing job getting us ready for it.
You're a football junkie. Is that fun? That process of just kind of getting in that film with those guys and just watching these guys?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, to me, that it would be hard for the NFL Network not to be on my home TV, and it's fun to be able to get home and really continue to love the game of football.
Jed, we really appreciate your time and such a busy time frame here. Thank you very much.
Oh, you got it. Thank you, guys.
Good
appreciate
to visit
it.
With you. Jed Fish, offensive Jed, coordinator for the Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Let's talk tickets. Jags recently announced the Jags 365 program, providing a greater level of service and new experiences for season ticket members, unprecedented access to Everbank Field, coaches and players, and exclusive events and packages tailored to your personal preferences. New seating options for 2014 have been announced as well. For more information, visit Jaguars.com and click on tickets and take advantage of this fantastic home schedule. Pittsburgh, the New York Giants, Miami, Cleveland, Indy, Houston, Tennessee, and of course that Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live rolls along, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. Always great to visit with Jed Fish and kind of get in his head a little bit on the offensive side. I don't think they're going to be running the ball first, though,
yeah,
right?
And I joked with him before he came on the air. I said, is it going to be 3 yards in a cloud of Jed? And he goes, I don't think it's going to be that. But first of all, thanks to him, because I think we probably kept him a little longer than he planned on. But as you know, JP, it's always so interesting to talk to Jed because he's an idea guy. It's kind of bursting at the seams, and he's very good at saying what he's planning on doing. So I sort of wanted to ask him about Denard Robinson. That's one question I didn't get in. It was interesting to talk to Denard last week. He's fired up. He's back. But overall, it's always good to talk to Jed, and I thought it was a pretty good interview.
Speaking of Denard, I saw him walking out to the car earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you.
And he's, like you said, just very excited to be around here, excited about the new running back coming in, the whole situation coming back.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll have more from him in the next couple of weeks. I've got a story planned soon on he's – he feels very good about moving forward. And I know the team, I know Jed, I know they have a lot of plans for him moving forward.
Let's get to what we know right now. Of course, the Jaguars have agreed to terms with Toby Gerhart, Zane Beatles. They're in the building, from what we know. They're in the process of signing. Dakota Watson has been a name that's been thrown around. There's nothing agreed to yet on that, we've been told. There's physicals and other things happening there as well. What are some other names you've heard associated with the team here?
Well, you've heard Willie Young thrown out there, defensive end from the Lions, and Walter Thurman, cornerback from Seattle. Again, those are, you know, probably a second level away from the guys we've talked about. I don't think they're in yet. There'll be more to talk about within the next couple of days. But I think the biggest thing that's going on right now, and the biggest sort of theme, if you will, is that the Jaguars are clearly, during the first hours of unrestricted free agency, sticking to the plan that they've had and that they've laid out. All these guys we're talking about that have come in this week, 2010 draft picks. Means they're in their fourth year, going into their fifth year. And that's really sticking to the plan of staying young. They're not giving these guys ridiculously overpriced contracts, which I think you've seen some of that out in the market. So it's still the plan of being able to sign guys and at some point in the future having room to draft and develop and fill out the roster the way they eventually want to, which is to have a homegrown roster eventually. You can't have a homegrown roster immediately. At some point, you've got to have free agents to fill the holes that you haven't drafted. But at some point, you want to have that homegrown roster, and you've got to work your salary cap in a way that you can get that down the road.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osher, Jaguars.com live, rolling along here at Everbank Field. Glad you're with us today. You know, I got a tweet a little earlier saying, I'd let Dave Caldwell pick my wife for me. Hashtag Jags Live.
That
kind of sums up the way a lot of people feel right now about what Dave and the personnel staff have done the last couple of days.
I'm assuming that guy's not married yet. But, he's, again, it's interesting to watch Dave Caldwell work in the sense that it's easy as a GM to get kind of caught up in the, oh, my goodness, I've got to go sign X player out there. It's easy to get caught up on Twitter on that. It's easy to get caught up on the internet, and you start looking at lists, and you start seeing guys fly off the boards. He has said since day one that's not going to be the approach. And even though there's always a lot of talk pre-draft on Twitter on what they might do and names they might go after, none of that's really come from Dave. And you don't really sense that he gets caught up in that, because there's a plan in place, and that plan really doesn't include the six-year, you know, $55 million contract for the 31-year-old pass rusher, per se. It's about getting a guy at 26 and 27 who can contribute, and I think that's what's exciting. If you really follow football and know about team building, that's probably more long-term exciting than a one-day, Tuesday, first day of free agency Twitter buzz.
Biggest news, of course, beyond the signings, was the trade of Blaine Gabbert. Mm-hmm. And obviously we asked Jed about that and kind of his thoughts. But just in the whole scope of where this franchise was 3 to 4 years ago to where mm-hmm. it is now, this is that was a big deal to get that happen.
Well, yeah, and it was time to move on from that. I think everybody felt that. Had Blaine come back, I have no doubt he'd have been given a chance to compete. But it was just going to be hard to make. It was hard to see him starting again somehow. You know, it just didn't really seem like that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think the most interesting thing is, you know, a lot of Jaguars fans, I think, understandably assume that this is the end for Blaine. He goes to San Francisco, and boy, oh, what a bad deal for the 49ers. But the 49ers don't feel that way, because they're getting a guy in their mind who has played 3 years in a tough circumstance, which it was, who had talent coming out, and perhaps if he gets in a different situation where there's not the pressure of knowing there are people in this fan base who just think he can't play, all of that stuff will be gone out there for him. For the 49ers' perspective, they clearly had a ton of picks. They traded for Jonathan Martin last night. They're clearly of the idea, you know, we have all these picks. Let's go ahead and take a chance on some guys who have some ability and see how they pan out. They're in a situation where that's okay. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Gabbert. I certainly wish him well, and it wouldn't surprise me if he has a lengthy career as a solid quarterback.
He's the youngest.
In some capacity. I mean,
right.
I mean, as a starter, but as a backup, as a guy who's valued, that wouldn't be a shock.
He's the youngest of the three quarterbacks on that roster. That's pretty amazing to think about that, huh?
Yeah, and that still kind of shows you.
Yeah.
That's why it's not absurd for the 49ers to look at this and say, okay, here's some talent here. Let's see what happens. They're not taking a big risk. They absorb his contract for a couple of million this year, I think. So it's really not a huge risk from their point of view. He's off their cap in a year if it doesn't work out. So good luck to Blaine.
Jaguars.com live. Hey, coming up on Jaguars.com, Pro Day coverage. That's coming up this – it's less than a week away when it starts, John. We'll be in Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm embarrassed. I haven't thought about Pro Day since Monday. And I've been a Pro Day guy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so,
have.
It's going to be interesting to see Pro Day.
Teddy Bridgewater, March 17th. Blake Bortles, March 19th. Johnny Manziel, March 27th. Jadeveon Clowney, April 2nd. All sponsored by Turner Pest Control. If you demand the best, go with Turner Pest. We'll also be down at the NFL annual meetings, the owner meetings, down in Orlando, 23rd and 24th. We'll be live both days. In Orlando. So a lot of live coverage coming up in the next few weeks.
And again, we talked about it before, what a masterful job the NFL does. This doesn't feel like the off season right now.
No.
So, I mean, it's in the news, and that's by design. It's a masterstroke, and I'm not sure anybody cares about any other sports right now.
Baseball has the Hot Stove League right around December. NFL has it for 12 months a year, pretty much.
It's striking.
It really is amazing. One name we haven't mentioned today at all is Red Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was signed as a free agent. He was cut, so he was able to be signed early before the free agency period started. But a big signing on that side of the ball, too.
Well, and he's the one guy who doesn't really fit this prototype we're talking about. He's, I believe, going into his seventh year, a couple of years older, so probably not going to be a 6 or 7 year player here. So, but at the same time, he gives you a chance to get better. And as Gus Bradley talked about on Tuesday when I talked to him, he's a guy who they know exactly what he's going to do. There's a good chance that you won't have that year of adjustment that you often see with a free agent. If he was coming into a new scheme, a new situation, new coach. But as Paul Posluszny said when I talked to him, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, when you watched him play in this defense in Seattle, it was instinctive to him. He was making plays where guys like Paul, who were learning the defense, were like, okay, that's what you're supposed to be doing in this defense. So he's coming in very experienced in it. Shouldn't be a big adjustment. So in that sense, signing the 29, 30-year-old guy makes sense because you should be able to get 2 or 3 good years out of it,
at least. I'm going to put you on the spot then. Whoa. Does this spell the end for Alu-Alu?
I don't think so. There's sometimes when you're playing fantasy football in free agency, and you're looking at names, there's a tendency to think, well, this guy's coming in at this guy's starting position, so this guy's going to be gone. On the defensive line, in this system particularly, but really everywhere around the league, you need 5, 6, 7, 8 defensive linemen who can play. I'm not sure there's any benefit to releasing Tyson, even if he doesn't start. What are you doing there? Saying, okay, we're going to get rid of this guy who's better than a lot of guys. Maybe he doesn't start over Red Bryant, but how often do you see guys get hurt during the NFL season? I've seen it before. You know, so, I mean,
absolutely.
That's why you don't automatically release a guy just because somebody comes out and plays his position. You need 4 or 5 receivers in this league. You need 6 or 7 not defensive backs. You need 7 or 8 defensive linemen. I don't think it spells the end for Alu-Alu at all.
Let's stay on the defensive line. Jason Babin opted out of his contract. The possibility of him coming back at some point? I mean, he's on the open market now. Does he make it back to Jacksonville? Does Jacksonville want him back?
A lot of questions.
Yeah, I know. That was more than one.
It was. I don't think there's any less or more of a chance of Babin playing for the Jaguars now than there was before he opted out. That was more of a formality. At some point, he wasn't going to play. I think it was $6 million that he was due to make the next 2 years. If I'm mistaken, I apologize. He wasn't going to play for that, and the team knew that, and he knew that. So at some point, one of the sides was going to have to make a move that he wasn't playing for that at the start of the new league year. So he becomes a free agent. I know talking to him, last time I talked to him was right after the season, he was very warm to the idea, strikingly warm to the idea of coming back, I thought, and made it clear he really wanted to be. I don't get the sense that the team's averse to that. I think it might be something that plays out. If somebody would call him with a terrific offer, he'd probably be dumb not to take it. He's not a dumb guy. He likes to make money. I do too. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think he'd be averse to making it. But I don't think it'd be a surprise if in a week or two they said, okay, let's figure out a way to get this done.
It was interesting to see his change as the year went on. Early in the year, a lot of personal fouls, just kind of all over the place, it seemed like. But then straightened it up. I don't know what point of the year, midpoint of the season, and really turned into a very productive player later in the year.
Here's a guy who, when he came here, if you talk to other people in the media, other fans, you know, there was some kind of baggage, but Jason Babb, you know, he had gotten released from Philadelphia, didn't come here under great circumstances from Philadelphia, and you just heard stuff, you know. And Gus Bradley said the same thing, you heard stuff. But when you talked to Babbin, when he talked to Babbin, he had a good trust with him. And by the second half of the season, you were seeing a guy who clearly, I don't know what his past was in Philadelphia, but I got the sense of a guy second half of the season that he liked being here, liked being around it, liked what Gus Bradley was all about. So maybe you use the word bought in, but he liked it. So he's 34, I believe. You could see him playing out last couple of years here.
Let's go to social media here on Jaguars.com Live. It's a question about receivers from Sean Kelly, Road War E-R 104. It's R-O-D-E-W-A-R-E-U-R 104. Are y'all addressing receiver in free agency or the draft, and have there been talks with Eric Decker?
You and I or the
– Well, I haven't talked to Eric Decker. Have you?
Not – it's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah. We used to be tight.
What are your thoughts on the receiver position these days?
I think they'll address receiver sometime in free agency. Again, when you're talking Eric Decker, just like when you're talking the big names that went off the board as pass rushers yesterday, I don't think that's their approach. They want to make sure that they have room to sign guys as they go along. They want to draft and develop. But I think they'll add a spot to that position. I can't tell you that I have an instinct over what the name will be at that spot. But I'd be a little surprised if it's Decker because of the price tag. But I wouldn't be shocked if it was him.
Another question off Twitter from our only Belgian fan, apparently, Lobass, L-O-E-B-A-S-S, at Lobass. Hi from the only Belgian fan. Saw you guys in London. What will happen with Mojo now, you guess?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Is he coming back? It'd be tough when you paid Gerhardt what you're paying Gerhardt.
It's tough. I'd be surprised, although I don't get any of that sense officially yet, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
So, logically, you would just be surprised. They've got Gerhardt. They've got three guys that I think it's clear they want to have Denard Robinson in the mix. I think it's fairly clear they want to have Gerhardt in the mix. They probably wouldn't fly him down. Probably wouldn't pay him.
Give him a physical.
You know, and Jordan Todman, it is a good situation for the backup, the guy between Denard and Toby. So, logically, it would be hard to see that happening. But, again, officially we haven't heard anything yet.
If he's not back, he's still one of the top players in franchise history, right?
Does
he go on the wall?
I think he's got to. You know, he led the NFL in rushing. He spanned some eras. It wasn't the most successful era, obviously. But yes, I think he's on the wall. And I'll tell you what I liked about Mojo the best. I didn't follow him early in his career when he was a very dynamic player, when he was the guy who could return kicks, was fast, was powerful. I don't think he was as fast as the last couple of years. I'm not even sure he was as fast the year he won the rushing title. I think he would argue with me about that and be a fun argument. But what he did was, as much as any player I've ever covered, he got the most out of his ability. And he played hard every play. I thought the rushing title that he won in 2011 was remarkable because here was a guy who nothing came easy that year. You weren't here yet. Mm-mm. But he averaged 4.5 a carry or 4. I forget what it was. But I always watched him thinking, he's getting 4.5 every time. There were very few 15-yard runs. There were very few 2-yard runs. He was a guy who got the most out of every play that year. I can only assume he did that. That was my first year covering the team. It was remarkable to watch that, the effort and the professionalism he put in. If I'm remembering Maurice Jones-Drew, if indeed he's not back, which again, I don't know, that's what I'll remember, is just that he played hard every play.
Jaguars Thursday coming up on WOKV Radio. That's tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday, News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690 as well. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Busy couple of days around here. Start of a busy few weeks here on Jaguars.com as well. Not only inside the personnel department, Dave Caldwell's office, Tim Walsh's office. But it's busy in the north and south end zones now, too. The new scoreboards are underway. The construction has started.
You got some FaceTime with the president on Monday, too.
Yeah,
big day
was,
for you.
It was one of those, yeah.
But
you heard him here.
You
heard him here on Jaguars.com a couple days ago. The official release came out that the construction is well underway. They started taking seats away from Everbank Field in the north end zone and taking concrete out. So that's when you know it's really real.
Well, and you know the thing that Mark said when we were talking to him on Monday. Now you're going to see stuff really going on. It's going to be a fast process now. Now you're cooking with grease, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and you're going to start seeing seats coming down, seats going up, the scoreboard's going up. It's going to be a neat time. And I kind of asked him, is it sort of fun as a guy who's overseeing this to watch this? Yeah, the next two or three months will be a lot of fun. And he keeps saying, and it's interesting, the video boards are going to change the experience, I think, more than people even realize. This is a bigger deal. It's hard to put into words how different, how big these things are going to be, and it's going to be exciting. And you're looking forward to the pools, I know.
So I know, absolutely. The pools and the cabanas and the, all the
you're
above.
Kind of, you used to be a cabana boy in your youth, right?
Like I might still be. You never know. J.P. Shattuck with John. You're looking at the drawings right now, the latest rendition of the north end zone cabana area, the scoreboards as well. And they're taken down, I think, a good from the walkway around that north end zone. There's probably 10 rows of seats above that, and they're going to shave it all down. And it's going to be two different decks there.
I might just get a cot and a laptop and work up there.
Why not? We should have the radio studio up there. Somebody tell somebody that. That'd be fantastic.
I'll let you handle that.
Okay. Right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I got another question from Uncle Chaps, our boy Uncle Chaps, on Twitter. So get ready for this one. Speaking of pro days, are we all going to have a beer at the A&M pro day? Well, you know, hey.
Not if I see him first.
That's right. You better be stealthy
about it.
That's right. That's for sure. That'll about do it today on Jaguars.com Live. There is one more note. The Roar of the Jaguars auditions for 2014 are coming up. There's already a great response, but the deadline to register has been extended through Friday, March 14th. Auditions start next weekend. For more information, visit jaguars.com/cheerleaders, and I hope Christy's happy.
Chatter excited. Roar audition.
Why not?
All right.
Hey, great show, John.
Hi, JP.
Good job the last couple of days. All the John's writing is on jaguars.com. A busy man into the night, deep last night. Busy again today. For Jed Fish, thanks to him for joining us. Offensive coordinator for the Jaguars here on Jaguars.com. Live for John Osier, I'm JP Shadrick. That's it for today. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live.